Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. Welcome, everyone, to the NBA Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Thursday, June the 1st. We are officially here. The wait is over. NBA Finals Game 1 tips off tonight at 8:30 Eastern. And we're going to give you our betting picks for Game 1. We'll do it as we usually do. We'll go through the spread. We'll talk about the total, team totals, anything that we do like. And, of course, we'll also discuss the player props that we do like for Game 1. But joining me here to help me break it down, you guys know him as the voice of the WNBA Gambling Podcast, the Tennis Gambling Podcast, the NFL Gambling Podcast, and, of course, here on the NBA Gambling Podcast, it's Scott Studio Reichel. Scott, what's going on, my man?
Yeah, nothing much. Looking forward to going through Game 1 of the NBA Finals. No offense to the overall series preview, but it does feel good to go back to going through one game at a time. Looking forward to it. It is a rare NBA Finals where I'm kind of satisfied if either team win, because I like Jimmy Butler and I like Nikola Jokic, so whoever ends up getting their first title, I'll be pretty happy about it. But in general, looking forward to the finals should be fun.
Yeah, it definitely is better, or I do prefer, I'm with you, just going game by game and, you know, breaking it down, whether it's spread, total, and player props, but it's always a good time. And also joining us here, he's ready, it's NBA Finals, Lante. Lante, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
Man, doing pretty good. I'm glad we get some basketball. Tired of doing all the breaking down and then analysis, looking at numbers, so just ready to get some actual quality basketball that we can break down and learn from. So yeah, look forward to it, man.
Yeah, we got to enjoy these next couple weeks, because the season will be over, and then we'll be in the off season. But hopefully it's the off season goes by pretty fast and we'll be back for next season. But only a handful of games left, hopefully at least 6 or 7 games left here for the NBA Finals, and Game 1 tips off tonight, like I said. So gentlemen, let's just dive right into it. Game 1, the current odds are sitting with the Denver Nuggets at home as an 8.5-point home favorite. Total is sitting at 219. Lante, lead us off, man. Denver Nuggets -8.5 at home. What are you thinking about the spread?
Yeah, so I like Denver. I think that rest versus rest thing has always been brought up between the teams, with Denver having more time off than Miami. Miami went through a war that should have been a pretty much easy deal, but they made it a little bit harder on themselves. So, so the risk versus risk thing, teams with more risk are 81-77 and 2 ATS, the playoffs. That's courtesy of Killer Sport. So, the team with more risk seems to be more more profitable. And I guess you got to throw in, depending on the opponent and, you know, finals matchup, but also still the numbers are the numbers. And I think Denver can get it done here. They were saying all the right things about intensity in practice and being conditioned, so they can come out with, you know, not much rust. So I'm guessing that they come out a little bit more offensively driven. The defensive intensity that I've seen from them has been great, and I'll get to that in the total. But all in all, I think Denver is the better team. I think they got unreal home court advantage. The 12-3 step in the playoffs, 9-6 ATS. I think they will have trouble early on, just trying to figure out what Miami wants to do and how to play. Once they figure out, I think they'll be prone to probably win by double figures. So I like Denver here, probably by like 12 or 13.
Scott, spread.
I'm on the same page here. I think Denver wins by double digits. I think that the number I was looking for was in between 12 and 15. So I feel like that's kind of where Delonte and I are on the same page. But I am going to go with Denver because one of the rest advantage, I got to mention it. I also do feel like Miami's still banged up. I know that, of course, they dominated in game 7, but it felt like physically they kind of crawled to the finish line. Bowler might have tweaked something in the middle of game 7. Vincent has played the last couple of games. He hasn't looked very good, but he's been playing, so I wonder how compromised he is with his injury. It just feels to me that Denver is the much deeper team, at least in terms of size. I do think that they have a lot of front court depth that Miami really doesn't have. And the point is, if Miami is going to struggle with Bam getting into foul trouble, no offense to Kevin Love, but I don't think that he's going to be able to stop Jokic, no offense. So I just think that Denver's going to kill them on the glass. We saw it a couple of times in the Boston series. Mostly not the case because Boston went smaller, which is why I thought Robert Williams should have played more. It was because Miami couldn't stop him in the paint. But Boston went smaller. The Knicks had a couple of games there where Mitchell Robinson rebounded very well, and the Knicks killed them on the glass. And we saw Milwaukee have a couple of games where they killed them on the glass. I think Denver really should dominate the rebounding battle in the series, and I think that's going to be the case in game 1. But Miami, I understand how great of a story it's been. Once again, I push back and say that I do think a lot of the teams they faced in the Eastern Conference were mentally fragile. No insult to Miami, just acknowledging there were some flaws with the teams that they ended up beating. And I do think Denver is mentally tougher than Milwaukee and Boston. So in other words, if Miami goes down double digits again, do I think Denver is going to blow it? The answer is no. I have more faith in Denver to hold the lead than Milwaukee or Boston. So I do think Denver gets up double digits. I think they hold on, and I think they win this game by 12 to 15. I think it might be competitive for maybe a little while, but I do think Denver at some point blows it open. Jokic goes nuts. Maybe the guys hit some threes. It's really tough for me to fade a team that's undefeated at home entering the NBA Finals. I think Denver wins this game comfortably.
I've been kind of on the fence about, you know, what side I want to take here. I think
you have Miami in 6, so that's why I feel like it's trickier for you.
Yeah, so I mean, look, Miami has came out and played well in all 3 game ones so far in the playoffs. They took care of business against Milwaukee. They came out and punched them in the mouth. I think it was a short turnaround in that game as well for them. And I know that was, I think that was the game where the game one where Giannis got hurt for the Milwaukee Bucks. They did it against the New York Knicks and they did it against the Boston Celtics as well. So I think early on is where I probably want to take a look at Heat, maybe first half, thinking that. That rest over rust factor kind of plays in for Denver, that it may take Denver, you know, a little bit, and then they kind of break it open in the second half, and that's where they kind of pull away. I'll go with Miami. I'll be contrarian. I think that I agree with everything you guys are saying, but I just have more. I have faith in this Miami Heat team. They just find ways to, you know, get down double digits. Scott, you talked about this a lot, that they have to get down double digits, at least by 10 points, and then they make their comeback from that point. But for me, I'll take Heat first half here as well. Just thinking that, you know, Denver may have a little bit of rust. You know, it may take a little while for them, their shots to fall, where Miami, yeah, they're dealing with the injuries, and they only had 2 games off here in between Sunday and – or what? Yeah, about 2.5 days off in between games. So I think that Miami keeps it competitive early on, whether it's first quarter or first half, and then eventually second half, maybe that's when we see Denver, hey, okay, the rust is off now. We were off for about 10 plus days, and then they'd start pulling away at that point. So I think my more favorite play in this game is going to be Heat in the first half to cover the number. Would I be surprised if they cover the full game number? No, because like I mentioned, they don't give up unless they're down by 15 or 20 points with about 5 minutes left. And maybe Eric Spoelstra empties the bench at that point and says, okay, let's just get ready for game 2, try to steal that, and then get back to Miami and we'll see what happens at that point. But I do think Miami is going to win one of these 2 games. I think a lot of people are thinking it's going to be game 2. just because of the short turnaround for the Miami Heat. And then altitude also plays a factor as well, right? I think we saw that with the Lakers where they were competitive early on in game one, and then Denver eventually pulled away in the second half against the Lakers. So I'll take Miami first half here. Getting over to the total, guys, it's sitting at 219 right now. Scott, lead us off on the total. What are you thinking about that?
I'm really on the fence on this one because if Denver does win comfortably, then either Miami no-shows the game offensively or Denver just goes crazy offensively and the game ends up going over. I think I'm going to lean under. I don't feel great about it either way, but I think I'm going to lean under, hoping Miami maybe throws Denver off for a couple of stretches with some unique defensive looks, and Miami might just have exhausted legs. So I do think that I'm going to lean under. I really don't feel great about it. The total's probably my least favorite play in the entire game because it could go either way. I'm going to lean under and assume that Miami's tired legs carry this under, but I really don't have a great feel of it one way or another.
Okay. Lante, what do you got?
Yeah, I love the under. Unders are 15-10-1 over the last 26 finals games. Denver's defense has been exceptionally well. They've held opponents to 103 points per game inside Denver, and they've also held the teams under 110 points in 6 of the 8 games that they played at home. So I think their defense is just complementary of their offense. I think their offense is the best unit on the floor. I just don't trust Miami's offense to be able to score enough to keep up with them. And like Muno, like you said, I think the Heat come out. They might be, you know, just running off adrenaline, and they might outplay them early on. So it could be a back and forth, slow down effect. I'm not sure they want to get in a track meet with Denver. So I think that will play into favor with the under. It's kind of like a filling out process. I guess like in the Super Bowl, we see teams come out and, you know, run the ball, be conservative. So I think we see a lot of that in game one. And then in the second half, I think Denver pulls away. So I like the under. I think Denver's defense can prevail. And like you said, if it gets out of hand early, they get 15-16, I'm pretty sure it's going to pull those guys. So I like the under a lot. If you aren't a fan of that, I would probably lean more so to the Heat team total under. I just don't trust their offense against Denver's defense, which has been pretty good in the playoffs so far.
Well, I do want to ask you, since the total kind of segues into a question that I have for both of you. When you're looking at how Miami succeeded against Boston, they were pretty good in transition because Boston's transition defense was pretty underwhelming, and we know Denver wants to push the ball the entire game. If you're Miami, I know you don't want to get into a track meet against Denver, but you also probably don't want to get into a half-court battle against Jokic. What do you think Miami prefers? Are they going to try to run, or are they going to try to slow it down?
I think that we saw against Milwaukee that they were very successful pushing the pace, right? Mm-hmm. And that was what one of the adjustments that Miami and Eric Spoelstra made. They played with a lot of pace. I mean, you kind of go back and look at the final scores in some of those games in round one against Milwaukee. I mean, they put up 130, 122, 121, 119, 128. So I think they're comfortable either way. I personally love the over in this game. I think
that's why I was asking, because if Miami wants to push the pace, it's going to go over.
Yeah. So, and again, we've seen Mike Malone and Denver Nuggets throughout the regular season, even in the playoffs, they like pushing the pace. So I think we're going to see pace in this game. I think that early on in series is where I like to play my overs, because especially in game ones where it's kind of a feel it out type of process. And then as the series progresses, you'll see the defensive adjustments being made by both head coaches, by Mike Malone and Eric Spoelstra. So, if you don't like, I kind of do agree about Lante's point that maybe if this game turns into a 15-20 point game at, let's just say, about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter for Denver, that you might want to look at Denver's team total to go over, because they've been able to put up a lot of points at home as well in these playoffs. I think that first game against Minnesota, they put up 109 points. They could have easily put up a lot more, but that game got way out of hand for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and there was no point for Mike Malone to keep his starters out there, and he eventually did, you know, bench them. So for me, I think that we'll see pace in this game. I think Denver is really going to push the legs and see where they're at rest-wise and fatigue-wise. And I think that may factor in the second half, especially having to play in altitude. So I personally love the over 219. That's probably going to be my log for today. And I also like the Denver Nuggets team total to go over in this game as well. That's where I am with the total. Blonde, did you have thoughts on Scott's question?
Yeah, so I think both teams are comfortable winning either style. But Miami's offense, like pace-wise, it's more predicated – well, to me, it's more predicated off getting turnovers. So they killed the Bucks and also New York – well, Boston to a certain degree, too, in points off turnovers. Averaged, I think, over 20 points per game in the first two series with points off turnovers. But I don't think Denver's – I don't think Denver's going to turn the ball over that much. So – their pace is kind of dictated on what they can do defensively as far as getting stops. But they've shown – both teams have shown that they can win track meets. I think the first game, Munaf, you mentioned L.A. was like 126 or 122 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they beat Phoenix 97-87, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, they can win in numerous ways. We saw what Miami was capable of in the New York Knicks series, winning those rock fights, and then they were scoring high in the Milwaukee series. So – I think both teams are predicated to do both things well. I just have to lean towards Denver doing those things a lot better because they're one at home and two, the best team, I think. And like I mentioned with Denver's defense, I mean, they've dealt with, you know, Booker, KD. I mean, to a lesser degree, I mean, Anthony Edwards was pretty good. Also, now Jimmy, a different animal, of course. I think they're more equipped to deal with Jimmy Butler than they are anybody else that they played, if that makes sense.
I didn't mention the two regular season games. I'm not sure if that is relevant or not, but Denver took care of both those meetings during the regular season. 124-119 and then 112-108 were the final scores in those games. But again, playoff intensity and playoff defensive level, you know, elevates obviously in the playoffs. So I just wanted to mention that. Before we get over to player props in this game, let me tell everyone about Edge Boost. This episode is supported by Edge Boost. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. Get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. Double down on your on a favorite bet you like, or even use it to create an awesome middle or even a hedge opportunity. If you're holding that Denver Nuggets futures NBA championship ticket or even a Miami one, and you need a you want to hedge it to guarantee yourself some profit, EdgeBoost is there to help you out. EdgeBoost isn't some sleazy loan shark, as they charge 0% interest. Do you know of a way you can access more money to place your favorite bets without paying any interest? I haven't come across that. Support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, guys, let's get into player props here for game one of the NBA Finals. Jelante, why don't you lead us off with your player props, my man? What do you got?
Yeah, so I one of my favorite ones throughout is going to be – I'm going to be on it throughout the entire series. I got a future bet on it. Well, I guess a series long bet. Duncan Robinson over 1.5 threes made. I mentioned yesterday he's over in 11 of his 17 playoff games in his run. In the games he didn't go over, his minutes were pretty low. So, I mean, you can kind of see he was playing like 6 minutes, 11 minutes, 12 minutes. So it's hard to get the volume up. But he's 48.3% over the last 7 games from 3. I think the emphasis will be on stopping the dribble drives from Lowry when he's in there, from Vincent. So I think that they'll be more prone to shoot threes off handoffs. So I think Duncan's a perfect player to do that. So I like him over 1.5 threes. Probably can ladder it up and get some plus money if you do 3+. So I wouldn't be shy away from that. So that's one of my favorite plays on the board. I like Bruce Brown over 11.5 points. I think his role will be pretty much expanded. I mean, he's playing a ton of minutes, but if you notice, like, the Miami Heat, they have, you know, Vincent, they have Strus, they have Lowry, they have these guys on the perimeter. And I think that Bruce Brown is going to have to be more key as far as from a defensive aspect, because you don't want Jamal Murray running around all day on all three of those guys. So I think he'll be implemented a lot more, especially with the second unit that he has the ability to score. He's attacking. He hasn't been shooting that well, and he still went over this number in 3 of the 4 games against Los Angeles. So, I mean, the bench unit for Miami is their weak link, as we all know. So I think he'll have success there, and when he's implemented with the starters in that, like, second quarter to fourth quarter window, usually when he plays with the starters. So I think he'll – a shot will fall tonight. I think he'll get over this 11.5.
All right. Scott, what do you got?
So I'm going to start off with the basic one for the superstar players here. I'm taking Jokic over in assists or triple-double or whatever you want to take. It's game one. I think Jokic has a great performance here. I said before Miami might try to experiment with its coverages on Jokic because there is no right answer. They're giving all the usual quotes. We need all five guys to stop Jokic. You know, we got to figure something out. Game one might just be throwing whatever you can out there and seeing what sticks. So I can see Jokic having a lot of opportunities to carve up this defense where Miami's not going to let Jokic go crazy offensively in terms of scoring. But with all the different looks, Jokic might just be able to find open teammates. And I think Denver's going to cover. So I do think that the supporting cast will shoot relatively well in this game. I like Jokic over an assist. I think that's probably one of my favorite props. It's really tough to go against a guy that's just averaging a triple-double in every series that he plays in. So yeah. I do think he's in line for a good game with facilitating. And I do think a pretty underrated play for that same idea with assists. I actually like Aaron Gordon over 2.5 assists. You look at his last couple of games, he's gone over pretty regularly. He's had at least 3 assists in 6 of his last 7 games. And he's also, if you want to include regular season games, he's had at least 3 assists in each of his last 4 games against Miami. That's regular season. I care more about the 6 of 7 in the last 7 games because that's the playoffs. But I think Aaron Gordon's in line for a decent series here. And I do think that Gordon can get some opportunities, either in offensive rebounds or maybe even just by cutting back door, maybe finding open teammates. I think 2.5 assists seems a little bit low for a guy, once again, that's gone over in 6 of 7. I like Aaron Gordon over 2.5 assists.
All right. A couple player props that I like. Start with Jamal Murray, over 1.5 steals here tonight. That one's around plus 140. He's done this in, I think it's been 5 straight games for the, the Denver Nuggets. And if the Miami Heat are going to continue to have turnovers, I think that Jamal Murray is going to be able to take advantage of it. Just kind of reading off the numbers over his last 5 games, 4 steals, 3 steals, 4 steals, 2 steals, and 2 steals. So 5 straight games he has done this. I agree with you, Scott, about Jokic assist. I look at rebounds and assists combined at over 23.5. I think at that point, I might as well just play the triple-double at minus 110. But I think both of those numbers are at minus 110 for Nikola Jokic. Let me double-check here. Yeah, so over 23.5 assists and rebounds combined is minus 110, and him to get a triple-double is at minus 110. So if you don't want to, you know, lay the or bet on the extra, 2.5 or 3.5 there, you could just play the triple-double at minus 110. Bam rebounds is something I was intrigued about. It is at 8.5 at minus 130. I think that if the Miami Heat are going to have any type of success in this series, they're really going to have to limit the second chance opportunities for the Denver Nuggets, because we know that off of those offensive rebounds, especially with Nikola Jokic at number one, he can, you know, grab those rebounds and put them back up and in. Or guys like Bruce Brown, Aaron Gordon, those guys can grab those offensive rebounds and kick it out to one of their shooters, whether it's Michael Porter Jr., whether it's Jamal Murray, whether it's KCP, and they can knock down those 3-point shots. So I think the rebounding is going to be really important here for the Miami Heat. So I do like Bam over 8.5 at minus 130. And I think that was it. Caleb Martin, threes are still at 2.5, but I kind of want to see how he responds after just being absolutely amazing in the Eastern Conference Finals, where there is some regression due for him. But I think that was still at plus money for Caleb Martin. And I think that was the ones that I did like. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to throw out there?
Michael Porter Jr. rebounds, I'm tempted
yes,
by.
Yes, that was the other one, yeah.
So he's done a great job rebounding, had a couple of double-doubles against the Lakers.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to need to be so heavily involved in rebounding like he was with LeBron and AD and all the guys that the Lakers have down there, but he has so much size over everybody else. And I do think Miami's, once again, had some issues at times rebounding against Boston. But for the most part, they were fine because Boston would take Robert Williams out of the game, go smaller, and Miami actually matched up relatively well. I do wonder if Miami might send maybe a guy and a half at Jokic trying to stop him from going crazy on the glass. So maybe Porter Jr. comes down, gets some extra rebounds there. Gordon really has not done a great job rebounding in this postseason, so that does open up some opportunities for Porter Jr. I'm not saying he's going to get a double-double, but I can definitely see him getting 8-plus rebounds.
Yeah, I do agree. NK asking, is Murray under 26.5 points and Bam under 10.5 rebounds good for tonight? I think I would prefer the Murray under 26.5. I know Terrell likes that one as well. Terrell thinks that Jamal Murray may not have as good of a series as he did in the first three series, I guess we can say. 10.5, if you get it on Bam, I think that you could probably end up with 9 or 10. But it's just going to be – it's going to depend on, again, this game turns into a blowout. That's where player props go to die if you are on the overs. Yep. But I think from those two, I would probably go with the under on Murray. You guys have any thoughts on those two player props?
I kind of like both unders, but the Bam under I am tempted by because I'm just expecting him to end up in foul trouble in the first 5 minutes of this game. Like, I don't know how he's supposed to. I said Miami's going to try to experiment. Will they leave him on an island for maybe the first 2 minutes and let him get up? Maybe. I don't know. The point is they might just see, you know, whatever works out and whatever doesn't, they'll live with the consequences. But I see Bam being in foul trouble in this game throughout, so I probably lean to Bam under. Murray, I do think that number's a bit high, but the argument is, you know, maybe he can have himself a great game. Miami historically has done a good job of defending him. So I kind of like the under on both, but the foul trouble is really the concern with me for Bam. Do you think he stays on the court? Because I feel like Jokic is going to put him in the blender the entire game.
I think that's the one of the more intriguing matchups. I'm interested to see what Eric Spoelstra does. Obviously, I think Bam is going to start on Jokic. We'll just see how well he is able to defend him because he hasn't had a lot of success in his career guarding Jokic, especially this season. So that's something I'm going to keep my eye on as we see game one and what the defensive plan is going to be for Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat as far as your Joker goes. Delonte, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a cop-out, but it's kind of depending on how they're calling. If they're letting stuff go, then he'll probably stay on the court. I personally think that Spoelstra is going to mix in a lot of zone and, like, matchup zone and probably play more Kevin Love on Joker and get help from, like, opposite sides. So, I mean, I like Bam in the series. I think he's going to have the ball in his hand a lot on offense because if Joker's his primary defender, then they want to put Joker in a lot of pick and rolls and make him work on defense rather than just sitting back in the paint, you know, playing free safety. So I'm a fan of Bam in this series. I would probably lean more so to the under on Murray because I really don't think he has to go nuclear for the win. I think he can be pretty average, you know, 21, 22 points, and they still have a great shot of winning by double digits because they have so much firepower offensively. So, yeah, I would lean to under Murray, and I see a world where Bam can get 10 rebounds. I see a world where he can get, like, 15. It just depends. So I probably would more so lean towards the under for a play, under on 26.5 for Jamal Murray.
All right. You guys have anything else? Reggie pointing out over half a block for Jokic. Yeah, I mean, I can get behind that. It's just him getting one block. Don't hate that. All right, guys, before we get into our lock and dog for game one, let me remind everybody about the two contests that are happening on the SGPN app. That's going to be the NBA Finals contest and also the Stanley Cup. NBA Finals tips off tonight, so make sure to get into the NBA Finals contest. Stanley Cup doesn't go till Saturday, I believe, so you do have time. But again, don't waste time. Get into both of those contests. They're both free to enter, but they're exclusively on the SGPN app. So go to your Google Play Store or the App Store, wherever you find your apps. Make sure to download the SGPN app. Hit that contest tab, and you'll see both of the links there for the contest. And the winner of each of those contests gets a $100 SGPN gift card over for the merch store. A lot of great stuff on the merch store. We've talked about it a lot, but if you haven't already, go and check it out, store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And again, download the SGPN app and enter both of those contests today.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, guys, let's close out this episode strong. Let's get into our lock and dog for game one of the NBA Finals. Delonte, why don't you lead us off, man?
Yeah, so I'm going to lay it with Denver for my lock. Mentioned how good they were defensively. I think their offense is the best unit on the floor. Some trends in the favor of Denver also. Favorites of 4.5 or more are 18-8-1 since 2013. That includes road and home favorites. So NBA Finals favorites are 9-4 ATS the last 13 games. And usually the point spread doesn't matter in the finals. According to – I can't remember who wrote it. I don't know if it was JVT or Thule on VSiN, but I got the stat from them. It's 96%, 47-2-2 ATS over the last nine seasons. The winner of the game just automatically covers point spread. So point spread doesn't matter. Kind of just pick a win and go. I think Denver is capable of winning by 12-13 tonight, so I like them a lot, laying the 8.5 for the lock. As for the dog, briefly mentioned it, I like Bam, so I'm going with his double-double is not that tempting, so I'm going with 20-plus points, 10-plus rebounds. You can parlay that on FanDuel. It pays 4+417, so I'm going to go with that for my dog. I think he has a good night on the glass. I mean, he has to. Nobody else is going to – they don't have any other inside dip. They don't have any rim protectors, so he's going to have to play smart. He's going to have to play with the ball in his hands a lot. I think volume will be there. And I think he just has a good night overall. I think he has a good series also, especially after that performance in game 7. So I like Bam a lot. So plus 417, 20-plus points, and 10-plus rebounds for Bam.
Yeah, I was looking at Bam's game logs against the Denver Nuggets, and he's done relatively well scoring the basketball. Over his last five games, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 10-10, 24 points, 13 rebounds, and then 22-7, and then 19, and only had 2 rebounds in that game. But they're going to need Bam this series. Again, they're going to need all five guys if they want to have a chance to win this series. So, yeah, I can get behind Bam here tonight. Scott, what do you got? Lock and dog.
Yeah, so I'm going to join Delonte. I'm taking the Nuggets. I found -8.5 still available, so I'll take the 8.5. At the end of the day, I think Denver's going to win comfortably. They're in altitude. They're undefeated at home. Miami might be exhausted from the game 7 that they just had. It's a very good spot for Denver. So I'm going to go with Denver to get the job done comfortably in game 1. And for my dog, I am going to go to a combo play. It's going to be Jokic to get a triple-double and Denver to win. And that pays out a +134. I think Jokic is in line for a game 1 masterclass here. And once again, I think Denver is going to win this game. So I'm basically doubling down on the Nuggets, I'd say like 1.5 downs, because I'm taking the money line the second time around instead of the spread. But I think Jokic has a triple-double, and technically I can't take that as a dog because it's -105. So give me that with Denver to win the game at +134.
All right. For my lock, I'm going to take the full game over here tonight. I just think that there is definitely a possibility where Denver scores 120-plus points here tonight. And then also I think that Miami does do their part of scoring the basketball to push this game over the total. We've seen it in the first three rounds, game ones for the Miami Heat, is what I'm trying to say. And I believe all three of those games did go over the total. And again, we talked about style of play of what Miami prefers. I mean, we've seen it throughout these playoffs that they're comfortable going up and down the floor. They can get into a half-court set as well, and they'll be able to find their points in any given way. Denver at home, we've seen it throughout the playoffs. We've seen it during the regular season. They're very comfortable at home. They like pushing pace. I think they're going to continue to push the pace here tonight, really test the legs of the Miami Heat here tonight. I think we will see points being put up in this game. So over 219 is my lock for game 1. For my dog, Jamal Murray, over 1.5 steals. He's done it in 5 straight games. It's at a plus price. I think that he can continue that here tonight. Kind of correlates that if we do see a faster-paced game here tonight, that the opportunities for turnovers are going to be there as well, whether that's out in transition or whether it's even in half court. I think Jamal Murray has filled up the defensive box score since the Lakers series. He did it in the Phoenix series as well. He's not opposed to getting blocks as well, but for a guy that's done 5 straight games, I'm going to take that to the bank, even when it's at plus odds. So +140 over 1.5 steals for Jamal Murray as my lock for game 1 of the NBA Finals. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast. Game 1, again, tips off tonight. make sure, guys, if you haven't already, for all of you listening and all of you watching, get into that NBA Finals props contest on the app, on the SGPN app. Just go to your Google Play Store, go to the App Store. If you haven't already downloaded, just hit that contest tab and get into both the NBA Finals contest and the Stanley Cup contest. Again, winner gets a $100 SGPN gift card. And I know all of us are going to be in there, so we'll see how we do in this prop contest. Scott, anything else you want to mention, my man, before we get out of here?
Not really. Looking forward to game one. Should be fun. It feels good having, once again, two really, really fun players to root for against each other in the NBA Finals. So I'm looking forward to the series. Also, you have two good coaches with Malone against Spoelstra. So I'm looking forward to the series. Should be fun.
Lante, anything else?
Yeah, man, I'm along with Scott. I don't think the championship could go to two better players, especially the Heat organization as a whole. So I'm like happy with the result regardless, but as long as I win a little bit of money on the side. But yeah, couldn't agree more with Scott. Looking forward to the series, specifically game one, to see what we can take away from it.
Over or under 2.5 camera appearances by Pat Riley in game one?
Five. Under.
Five. You think five? I don't know.
Five.
It might be correlated because I don't think they're going to show them when Denver's up 15. So it might be correlated.
Fair.
But
that's fair. That's a fair point.
All right, guys. We'll be back sometime over the weekend to handicap game two. So definitely, again, if you're not following the Twitter account for us, go ahead and do so. Follow us at SGPNNBA. And if you haven't already subscribed to the YouTube channel here for the NBA Gambling Podcast, go ahead and subscribe. You'll know when we're going live. Not only for the NBA playoffs, but all throughout the offseason. Make sure to follow Delonte on Twitter at XXLanteXX. Follow Scott on Twitter at Rishow Radio. You can follow me on Twitter at SportsNerd824. Enjoy the game tonight, game one. Let's make some money. Let's break these books off and let it ride.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm going to.